What a big day it is for us here at the Ticket, and what a big weekend it's going to be at Ticket Stock. This is our 20th birthday today. 20 years ago today, the Ticket signed on the air as the first, and we are still the only all sports radio station in Dallas and Fort Worth.
That's something.
Thank you to the P1s for being with us all these years. And we are celebrating at Ticket Stock, which officially cranks up at noon today at the Dallas Convention Center. Complete details at the ticket.com. It's brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Bud Light. We hope that all P1s can make a point to make it out to Ticket Stock either today or tomorrow. I've heard from a lot of P1s who have said, you know, I've never been to a Ticket Stock, but I'm coming this year.
That's great.
I can't miss the 20th anniversary, the Ticket's 20th birthday, and we're having our big birthday celebration today and tomorrow. Today is the actual birthday, 20 years ago today. And this afternoon at Ticket Stock, beginning at noon, we're going to count down the 20 greatest moments in ticket history. So we'll be reliving a lot that's gone on here the past couple of decades this afternoon. We'll have roundtables. All of the hosts will be there, and we'll be waxing nostalgic about that. We will also have special guests today. Joining us for the roundtables and signing free autographs today will be Jim Jackson and Michael Irvin. We decided to get a major figure from each of the four major teams back in 1994. So Jackson representing the Mavericks, the Playmaker representing the Cowboys, and tomorrow at Ticket Stock will be Pudge Rodriguez and Mike Modano signing free autographs and joining us on the roundtables.
So today is the Michael Irvin and fake Michael Irvin roundtable.
That is scheduled for 3:30 this afternoon.
Awesome.
Can't wait. Oh,
it's going to be great.
Oh, no.
One of the greatest Ticket Stock moments ever will be right then.
Won't.
So in addition to those athletes who will be signing autographs, everything is free. Free to get in. Watching the roundtables free. All the interactive games and booths that we have set up free. We were there last night for the Ticket Time Wasters rehearsal. And checking out the room, it looks great. It's a massive room there at the Dallas Convention Center. If you're headed down there today or tomorrow, remember, we are in Area D. D is in dog. Because that's a big place. So you want to get as close to Area D as you can and follow the signs to Area D. But the room looked great last night. We've got a ticket museum set up. And I thought that was really cool. Lots of old artifacts and photos from the past 20 years. Did you guys go through that?
I did.
I have not yet.
It's pretty cool.
I can't wait to see that.
Including our two Marconi Awards, and you can get your pictures taken with the Marconis.
Oh, come on.
Like a
Stanley Cup or something.
Why not?
Jeez.
I think I may do that. Get my picture taken with the Marconis.
Had a really weird moment last night at rehearsal, so I was the first one to go. And with the band, we practice Points for Sex, which if you haven't heard, and I'm sure if you watch the entertainment shows or read Rolling Stone, or you know that for the first time in 10 years, I'll be performing that live tomorrow night at Ticket Stock. So it's a pretty big musical event. So we were rehearsing last night, and it's such a ridiculous, confusing song. And there were very few people there, a couple of workers from our promotion staff setting up things. And then in the middle of the song, I looked over, and there was this about 80-year-old woman, and she was one of the security guards there. And she was looking at me with her head tilted sideways like, what the hell is this? And I almost lost it. I couldn't barely control myself because I felt stupid in front of her performing that song.
What's Junior singing about?
What voice is that?
Southern, what voice was that?
Some southern woman.
Anyway,
was in Texas.
I was very excited about how the band sounded during Points for Sex. Didn't they sound great?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Rich was part of that.
Yeah,
Stay
the horn
horns.
Section is back.
Very small section of the band there.
Extremely small.
What happened to the other trombone?
He hadn't been around in years. Last several times that the Stay Hard horns were around, it was really just the Stay Hard horn.
Yeah.
So then I got out of there, so how did rehearsal go for you guys?
Fine. Yeah, we made it through okay.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
It was okay.
He says
I'm,
that every year.
I'm struggling.
He
I'm
says
struggling.
That every year.
What time did that thing finish up last night?
Don't know. Yeah, I got out of there relatively early.
We didn't get going until about 8:30.
Yeah, I was done, I think, at 9:30.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is being billed as the biggest Time Wasters show ever. And from what I understand from the set list, the first part will be a lot of guys here from the station doing hits from 1994. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Including you two, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us any more details? Or
I'm doing one of the favorite songs of our mayor, Mike Rawlings. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm doing a Weezer song.
Cool.
My favorite Weezer song.
Yeah, I know. Because you are the biggest Weezer at the ticket right now.
I know.
And then the back half of the Time Wasters performance Saturday night will be a lot of bit songs.
Yes. Classic bits and greatest hits through the years.
And you guys are participating in that second half as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a hint as to what you're doing there?
I will be playing fiddle with Dan McDowell.
Okay.
And I also will be playing fiddle with Dan McDowell for my song.
How about that? Dual fiddles with Dan McDowell.
All right, so that's the Time Wasters show, Saturday night. It's going to start around 6:30. Around 6:30, the Time Wasters will crank up on Saturday night. And normally it's Friday night for the Time Wasters, but the Time Wasters will close things down this year at Ticket Stock on Saturday night. Tonight at 7 o'clock, after we go off the air, we're going to carry the round tables and the 20 greatest moments in ticket history all day today. But at 7 o'clock when we go off the air tonight, it's a very special pull back the curtain on the tickets history, hosted by our own Robert Wolanski. And it's going to be about 2 hours of all of the hosts up there just kind of BSing about the history of the ticket, answering questions from the P1 audience.
First of all, why are you all so terrible?
So I think this will be a lot of fun. It's similar to what we did at our 15th anniversary at the House of Blues.
Which was great. I really enjoyed that hour when we did that a few years ago on the ticket.
Okay, and then we're going to have lots of other stuff going on at Ticket Stock this weekend as well. There is going to be lots of stuff for you to do, including Jerry's going to pull his massive Cowboys bus in there today. I think he's driving it in there himself. I saw the big Mavericks bus in there last night. Mm-hmm. I saw the 55 Ford refurbished by the Gas Monkey Garage guys that Mark Cuban and the Can Academies are giving away.
How about all the Phil Dill boats?
Tons of boats. It's like a boat show in there.
Yeah. They got some really nice boats.
How many boats did you see in there? 10, 15?
There may be 10.
Good Lord. That's a lot of boatage.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Robert Wolanski said all those boats were terrible. By the way, in the Wolanski thing, I bet you there will be a lot of cussing. Boats
and hoes. You think so?
Yeah,
let's
just
see.
Like
is
our...
Corby going to be there? Yes, just like our, there will be cussing.
Don't attack Corby.
Probably going to be beer involved, too, so there'll be more cussing.
Yeah, it's just like our 15th anniversary when things got a little saucy up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting when the ticket turns off the transmitter and just lets the mics go out into the hall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Rich, I think you're right, since Bud Light is a sponsor.
Yes.
Things could get kind of interesting.
Yes.
All right, so complete details at theticket.com. The event, Ticket Stock, our 20th birthday, starts officially at noon today, Dallas Convention Center. Keep in mind, Area D at the Convention Center. And everything is free in terms of admission and autographs and the Time Wasters show and everything else that you'll be seeing up on stage and get to take a part in this weekend.
Free.
It's a good time to look into Dart Rail, too.
That's right.
It stops right underneath the D Hall there.
You going to take it?
Or Hall D. Why that's set off a siren?
Yeah, if you're a little worried about parking downtown, you know, it's either a parking garage or if you can find a meter on the street, something like that. And there's plenty of room in those parking garages. But if you're a little worried about that, Dart Rail's probably a pretty good option.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I'm D-hole. George, you're an A-hole, right?
No, I'm in D. I'm in D. With everybody else from the ticket, jerk.
And a special thank you right now to all of the P1s who've been with us for 20 years. Maybe you've only been with us for 20 days, but we appreciate you supporting America's favorite radio station during that time. 20 years ago this morning, do you remember exactly what you guys were doing?
Yes. I woke up to not only hear if it was actually going to be on the air and the loop would stop running that we started on Friday night, but I wanted to hear the first few minutes of Skip's show. Plus, I had to get up because someone had the bright idea that I would do fake Norm calling Skip to congratulate him on being on the ticket or something. I can't even remember what it was.
I believe that was the first bit.
It was the first bit.
First call.
Yeah, first call.
And first bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because at the time, Norm was on doing mornings 6 to 9 on our arch-rival competitor, KLIF, at the time.
And Skip played along with it really well, too. It
was, why are you rolling your eyes?
We had great chemistry in that first bit.
Skip wasn't the best with playing along with bits.
Especially the ones that you would pre-record. You didn't really know how to handle those.
He
really
didn't. He thought he was.
We would come out of some bit that I would do, and he would just ignore it and give a time check and go to break. It was just so defeating. So defeating. But I tell you what, this will show you how we should how much we should count our blessings. When we started 20 years ago today, we probably had about 1,000 people who were listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, we have over 1 million people who have been listening since day one.
That's right.
It is amazing how that number has grown.
Man, day one. I've been there, man, since day one.
It's like the amount of people who were listening or who were there to see Wilt score 100 at Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Exactly right.
And some people have been. I mean, I think there were a lot of people that listened that first day just to hear, because there was so much build up about what's this going to sound like, what is this going to be, all sports, and these bits.
I was in the car listening that morning when Dr. Bay started it up.
With all the technical feedback. And
so I could laugh, because Mike Reiner wouldn't hire me for a job here, and so I laughed at his failures.
Was it Bay? I thought it was always Dr. Gay. It was Bay, though.
Bay.
He went by Bay.
Dr. Bay. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I was always hearing him wrong.
By the way, he stole my joke on Twitter, too, about Dr. Bay.
Oh, yeah. I told you I was posting that.
No, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah. That's funny. I told you right after you said it. I said, I'm going to post that on Twitter. That's quality. I should have hashtagged you is what I should have done.
All right. When the ticket kicked off that day 20 years ago today, what did you think the life expectancy was for this station?
I didn't think much about that. I knew we had at least a year, I thought. They'll give us a year to do something. I just thought it was such a great opportunity that I had, as we told Barry Horn when he did that column on it last week, I had great faith that this was going to work at some level.
Did we talk about Barry Horn's piece?
No.
No, we really didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. That was last Saturday.
In the morning news.
In the morning news, he wrote a piece about Spence Kendrick, the guy who, you know, started this, who's our first owner. And so that was a good story that Barry did.
Yeah, it was.
And we did talk about how long we expected to last. I expected me to last probably, I wanted to get like 6 weeks out of it. That was my goal. Because I had zero interest in sports radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to say that I worked for a station, I guess, and at least have that on my resume. I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's resume.
But as far as the station, I thought it would last about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see how shaky we were in the early days as far as our financial setup. It seemed like mayhem in the early days.
Oh, and it was.
And
yeah, it was total.
We had no idea. We only had inklings of what was going on behind the scenes. We just knew that there were some financial challenges, certainly typified by the day when we had all our cell phones confiscated after about a week and a half after they were issued to us.
So they were too costly.
Yeah. We want to give everybody here a cell phone where we can be in constant communication in case breaking sports news happens. And then we got the first bill and we all have to turn them back in.
Well, George and I left KRLD to come over to the ticket when Ryan's offered to hire us, offered to give us a job, doing a talk show. And I think both of us jumped at the chance.
Yep.
It sounded like a blast. It sounded like a lot of fun. But honestly, I took the job thinking, you know, if I can just get 2 years and not get fired, just 2 years, and then have that on my resume that I worked for 2 years at an all-sports station in Dallas.
You're set.
Then maybe I could always get a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I thought, the minimum or maximum, I guess, that I wanted to get out of this. But I always thought that the station had a chance to last a very, very long time. I wasn't so confident in my own abilities, but I thought the station had a chance to go on forever.
Yeah, I didn't think you would still be here.
No, there's nobody did. But I thought, this town is such a great sports town. And it was, it needed desperately 24-hour sports talk radio. It is the best sports town in America. I know people say New York and Philly and Boston. I'm telling you, Dallas stacks up with any of them. This is a passionate sports town.
And the characters we have in town, the brother teams, I mean, we got so much stuff going on.
Like here.
But I remember once we got it, though, like, you know, working with you, I was thinking, man, this is going to be so great. You know, we've known each other for so long. But I remember when we started, I did have the feeling like, man, how do we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to those old shows,
oh.
It sounded like two guys were like, man, how? Why are they on the air?
You know what? I can't even.
No.
It's painful.
I don't want to listen to it.
It's like looking at your pictures when you were 12 and had braces.
Yes.
It's just you can't even look at it.
I have not listened to one of our first, say, year or two's worth of shows. I've not listened to anything from that time period in probably 15 years because I can't stand listening to it because it's so bad.
That's funny you guys think that because as a listener in those days, I thought y'all were the best show on the station.
Oh, gosh.
Even then.
It's because everybody's bar was so low back then.
There was nothing that had been on like it because we had had Norm, we had had Fish, we had had Skip over on KLIF, and we had had Grandpa Urine and then Sports Central on KRLD. We had nothing where anybody ever tried to go outside of the box, and I always like to joke with you guys about the great Jennifer Capriati with Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon bit.
Funny.
But it was funny, and nobody had ever done anything like that. Playing golf on a talk show?
While doing our show and
nobody
taking calls.
Nobody had ever done that. So as a listener, I thought y'all's show was great back then.
Well, that's nice of you to say, and I think that's one thing, and when I have gone back and listened to early shows, the conversation was always there between guys, and that's right. Always been a constant here. And that thing about, you know, doing something different.
Right.
You know, and whether it was fake Mavs, fake Bulls, or, you know, having our own basketball game and involved into a hockey game and all just the crazy stuff we've done here, it has been something that no one's tried before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it grew organically.
That's right.
That's how it happened.
And it succeeded because, as Rhines always says, we can do what they do, but they can't do what we do.
That's right. Well said.
All right, so today we count down the 20 greatest moments in ticket history starting at noon as ticket stock officially opens at the Dallas Convention Center. It's going to be a big weekend. Go to theticket.com for details.
Thanks, Paywans.
Now,
who's that?
One of the moments that did not make the top 20 list.
Such a crime.
Is one of our favorite moments in the history of this show, and you're going to hear that next. And on the air and at Ticket Stock all afternoon, we're going to be running down the top 20 moments in ticket history. Now, one moment did not make the top 20 list, and this is one of our favorite moments from our morning show. And you guys pinpoint the date circa 1998?
Yes.
Yeah, we were in Wichita Falls. I still remember where we're sitting. We're sitting in a tent outside in the early morning.
Cowboys training camp. And somehow, the topic of monsters, like the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, came up on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to this conversation. So let's go back in time now. One of our favorite moments in ticket history, circa 1998.
Yeah, I don't believe in Loch Ness Monster as much as I believe in Bigfoot. I think there may be something to the Bigfoot thing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, how big is he? Is he like 9 foot tall? Is that how much they speculate that he is?
Yeah, they make up that he's probably about 9 feet tall.
Yeah, 7 to 9 feet tall.
Somewhere in the Sean Bradley range.
That's put it out. If they did find him, Nelly would
draft him.
Human would, I guarantee.
Ryan, you had him posting up people, holding his hand up.
What if he was great?
Because he doesn't run the court. He just walks back.
Right.
It's like he does. Like, he does back. Patterson Brown. He's like Cheap Bromden when he was playing basketball. Hold your hands up, Cheap. Hold him up there.
But he takes such big steps, he can make it down the court in about 3 steps.
Right.
He is the only guy that physically could match up with Shaq.
Yeah.
He's the only guy big enough to top Shaq, so that's why NBA teams are trying to find him.
Look at that. Well, Shaq's going to take a Sasquatch.
He becomes a real celebrity, and they're spotting him out at the Viper Room in L.A. with girls.
He hit the Dallas Mavericks and won 30 straight.
Basket by Sasquatch.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Bigfoot. That's what it would say on the back of his Mavericks jersey, just Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, number one.
Yeah.
And whenever they would go play Portland or Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, he'd have a lot of ticket requests.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We joke about this, but somewhere right now, the Nellies are sitting around listening going, I'll be damned if that might not work. I bet you he's been on there He's been on their board for the past 3 years, but he doesn't surface in time.
Well, we're going to draft him if he comes up. And you know what? They wanted to draft him last year, but instead they took the joke player Wang Zhuzhu.
Right.
They wanted to waste that second-round pick on some big joke.
You know, we could probably convince Cuban to do that next year and take him late second round.
Imagine how much news that would make, drafting Bigfoot. If he's never found, he's required to play for the Mavericks.
And they go to the TNT guys and Ernie Johnson, and the only film they have of him is that Patterson.
We have a scouting film.
Here you get a look at Bigfoot.
Well, no, Peter Messi, look at that.
Reported to be 7'10", 402 pounds.
What do you want to bet that John Thompson or Rick Majerus would talk about his great skills and how he's one of the up-and-coming players?
He's got a great upside.
Yeah, he's real raw right now.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that was funny.
So anyway, that's a TV
ahead. I'm sure I'm glad you caught that show.
All right.
Sorry.
You gonna make it?
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Great.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, man, that was so funny.
It's so fireside chat sounding, and our voices are higher.
I was going to say, that wasn't that long ago, and that's the best quality audio we can find anywhere of that.
I know.
It's like from 1920.
World's come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I still like Junior's joke about when they play in Portland.
Yeah, the ticket request, family ticket request.
Oh, that's great.
There's a whole section full of Bigfoots out there. There's stupid pennants and everything.
Oh, man. All right, 8:49 here on The Ticket.